Music. It's unique. Unique to have Mr. Harris singing. He'll be in the kingdom now because he's been hiding his talent, and God has said, you're not going to be in the kingdom until you do. And then to have an acoustical guitar with Carissa playing for him, that's unique also. We haven't heard that sound at all. And then the combination with Katrina and her father, Chad, that's just unique. So this is a unique church. I thought it would be good to start today, and I may be wrong on some of the dates, but I thought I would start with a little bit of history of our introduction to the Columbia Church. It's been stated that we've been here for 25 years, and it has. It was sometime in the spring, Holy Day of 1995, where I believe the California church, maybe there was another church before that, but just before I came to Columbia, Mr. Tom Clark was the pastor of the California church, and that's not out in Los Angeles area, of course, that's California. Missouri has a way of taking all the names of everything, every state, and applying it to a city, except for, I think, Montana. Probably that's the only one left out. Montana, Missouri, that just wouldn't work out. But it was in California, which is south of here, for most of you know that. And so I took his place, and when I came, the church moved from California into Columbia. And as I remember it, there were 9 people. I do remember a year later, we were out at the Millereps. I think it was the first year where the Delvin Millereps had an anniversary of the first meeting. And that was, I have August 1995, and it would be interesting if it were exactly 25 years. But it may have been September. I do remember that there were, if I'm not wrong, I think 9, including the two of us. And if I remember right, and I have some of the names that I marked down, and I just didn't take the time to check it out, but it seemed to me we were meeting in a Holiday Inn across 70. And actually, at the same time in St. Louis, we started there with a Holiday Inn or something similar. But Delvin and Carrie were there. Of course, Dale, who is the oldest baptized member in the church to this day. He was the oldest baptized member probably at that time too, baptized in 1957. So he and Goldie were there, and then Delvin and Carrie, I believe that's right. Now, my wife's getting old and it's rubbing off on me. I've always got to pick on her, because if I don't, it's just not normal, and she feels left out. So for you women who feel sorry for her, don't at all. But whatever the case, of course, the two of us were there. And then there was another young man who I remember was very zealous at the time, and I can't remember his name. Many of you do remember his name, I'm sure. But it seemed to me then Dave Smith was there at that first meeting, and maybe Ray Harris was at the first meeting, second, third. It was close because it was Holiday Inn. So it was sometime very close. And then Penny, of course, came in and joined, moved in a little bit later. Not moved in with Ray a little bit later, but moved into the area a little bit later. And I guess moved in with Ray, too, when she came. But whatever, that was kind of the basis of what started. And I know that there were then several after that. I won't go into all the detail, but you can look around in the hall and you can see that there was the Wilsons and the Freemans and Crystals were there, right? Crystals were there at the first meeting. That was it. So the Crystals took care, and I think I've got their name down here, that would be over 9. So anyway, the Crystals were there. And by the way, they did send me a very discouraging letter. They said, you know, we followed you into the Wentzville area, and then we followed you over to Columbia in the Holiday Inn, and then we followed you in Columbia to the college room where we met for a while, and then we followed you into the nursing home. They meant that in a different way. It was for Sabbath services. And then we met, then we followed you into the Realtor building and into VIP, and then we followed you into 54 Country. We're not following you to Colorado, is what they said. Anyway, I said, look, I put down $5 for a tent for you over there, and now you owe me $5. But that was kind of the start. And then, of course, we had Shaylin, who came to church a little bit later than that. About a year later, Shaylin started going to church. She couldn't before that because she wasn't born. And then 2 years after that, it was Skyla who came to church, finally following her sister. And she couldn't come before that either because she wasn't born. So you can kind of look back and think of how long, you know, time has passed and who was there and who wasn't. And then we know that there were many of you who were in another church because the Christian Fellowship Church was going on at that time. And so at the same time, many were here in United. Many of you were over in the Christian Fellowship Church, which then merged with United here in this area. Mr. Holliday came. I think some of you remember that. And so there was a merger at that time. And several of you and the kids from those who came are here today. And of course, the Adkins were over there in St. Louis area at the time. Wentzville Church, I think, closed down, well, maybe a little bit later than that. But Caples, I remember, were over in 1999 when we went over there. They were already over in the Kansas City Church. So again, you were scattered around. Bob Howell was here. Marlene was in the area. And just as I look around, you see the Beechams came shortly after that. And you have all of these individuals who were going someplace else. And finally, we all ended up here. I think Marion counted that if everybody in the Columbia Church stayed, there would be over probably 150, maybe even over 200. I know in Kansas City it would be over 200 if everybody just stayed and didn't move off to another area. So there's quite a history that goes in this area. The Morgans, of course, came in from Alaska, maybe transitioning to another spot before that. Did you go to Arizona before Alaska? I think so. And so we just look around. Bernard Longhibler, of course, was here. He was over in the Wentzville area at the time and then eventually came over here. And we just, you know, I don't have my glasses on today, but I can at least pick out some people who you can just tell by their body language that that's them. And I don't have a contact lens in today at all either, but you have you know, many who just moved into the area and have been around forever. Floyd Smith, of course, you think of those on what we call the Ridge, and that was a unique name to me too. What do you mean the Ridge? And so we found out what that was, and so all those from the Ridge are now basically or have come or are coming now too. So it's been quite something. And what's so nice about this church area, it has a history of just being nice. Now I get that from Mr. Maker, that this church has always been a nice church. It just has been one of those churches that you could go to. It's people accept you. And it's had that history too of individuals who have been pastored by a man named Mr. Rand. You know, you think of 25 years back, 30 years, 35 years, Mr. Milich was here, and so many others that we don't even need to, or I can't remember who pastored here. The Meekers were here, and the Meekers are the ones who told me that this has always been such a nice church. And they didn't need to tell me that concerning the last 25 years. It's just been that way back from 25 years ago. So I thought I'd just give a kind of a summary picture, and I know I'm leaving names out, but I want to go to a recent history. The church, since 31 AD, has had a ministry. So we know that when the church started here, back when Mr. Dale Millerup first started. He was at the first service of the church right here in this area. Beyond that, or back from that, you go into the 40s, then you go into the 1800s, then you go all the way back to 31 AD, and the ministry has always had the same purpose. And I thought I'd dwell on that just a little bit, because no matter if it's me or a future minister, Mr. Foster in this case, or past ministers, the purpose of the ministry has always been the same. It's always been the same. And actually, Mr. Froge mentioned Ephesians 4 and the edifying part of it, and I want to go to that scripture too, Ephesians chapter 4. And the definition, the description of what Jesus Christ has done and wanted the ministry to do. He started in verse 12, and I'm going to start there too. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we are a body, no matter what, from the time that any of us have been baptized. We've been baptized or immersed into water, and then we know we've been immersed into a body. And that, no doubt, is one of those great mysteries that is supposed to tie us all together. When we understand that we've all been put into one body, and that gets rid of a lot of problems. It was Jeremy Lawyer just had reprinted once again in Discern magazine an article that he wrote back in 2018 on the subject of prejudice. And when you look at that and read especially the last half of it, you realize that the key to us being unified, the key to not having any problems, is recognizing that we are all in the same body. And the analogy is so good, because when I think of my body, I have never had a problem with my body. I've treated every part of my body except my legs, which I've abused in running, although they're fine with it, they forgive me. And you know how that is. Our body is very forgiving to the rest of our body. Our head treats our body with tremendous mercy and loving kindness. And our body responds right away to whatever the head wants. And no part of the body picks on any other part of the body. That mystery and that key and that analogy is actually the key that keeps us united. We think in terms of we are the body of Christ, members in particular, and we would never have a hand against a hand or an elbow against an elbow. And if we happen to kick ourselves, we forgive ourselves. We do. If we, you know, become knock-kneed, as they say, knees knocking together, the knees are never, you know, like, why'd you do that? You know, you idiot, can't you see? I'm offended. You hit me. No, you hit me first. Well, wait a minute. They both hit each other at the same time. But, and this is so ridiculous to even be speaking about something like that, except we don't apply it. And all the time. We do, thankfully, most of the time. But we're in one body. Now, what it goes on to say is, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So what is every minister's goal? Even though we are striving to live up to it ourselves, what is our goal? And that is to help the body to become unified and to be like Jesus Christ. To be like Jesus Christ. Now, I think there are 40 words in verses 12 and 13, 40 words. But it's summed up in 6 words in Galatians 4. So let's turn back to Galatians 4. Galatians chapter 4. Starting out and ending both with verse 19. Galatians 4:19. My little children, for whom I labor in birth again. Okay, so here you have a minister laboring in birth because there's a birth process taking place. We know salvation is a process. So we have a birth process from the time that we use the term begotten. It's an analogy once again. There's a begettal, there's a birth process. And we know, of course, that once we have the Holy Spirit, that is the deposit, that is the absolute earnest, as they say, it is the substance of the fact that we are going to be spirit being. When we have the Spirit of God, we are going to be in the kingdom of God. As long as we have the Spirit of God, we will be in the kingdom. We don't even have to question the fact whether we will or won't. When we have the Spirit, when we die with God's Spirit, when we die, when Christ comes and we have God's Spirit, that's that, well, if you're in chemistry, you know, you can take a chemical and you can put another chemical with it and pew, boom, you know, you have a flash or you have an explosion, which would go with a flash, of course. And that's it. You already have the makings where God all just has it in us. And all he has to do is hit a switch. And it's the moment that I've been blinking nanoseconds many times. That's how long it takes to blink, I'm sure. And that's how fast we're going to enter the kingdom. That's why I don't want to die yet, because it's like, I'm not ready for that nanosecond yet. I'm not sure that I proved myself yet. So my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you, we have that Spirit that is causing a formation in us to be like Jesus Christ. That is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. But notice it is Christ is formed in us. We're in his body, but every cell has to be receiving the messages tied in so closely with the head, and that is Jesus Christ. With Christ formed in us, we then are going to be like Jesus Christ when we are changed to spirit being. Now, I might mention that, and I remember giving a sermon in Houston, Texas, several years ago. It was when we were in San Antonio, but the idea was, well, when I'm changed to a spirit being, that's when I will be like Christ. And I don't have to worry too much now. I can make mistakes, you know, and God will forgive me. And he will, but if we're not serious about the perfection of Jesus Christ, being formed in the image of Jesus Christ, when we're changed to a spirit being, if we already don't have that Spirit that we've yielded to and that is forming us and shaping us, then we're not going to be in the kingdom. We have to be now exemplifying those traits, the characteristics of Jesus Christ. And it's in this life. So every minister is going to be working on that. I'll be taking Mr. Neff's pastorate position, although thankfully he will be there. And I ask him how many sermons, you know, does he want 3 sermons a month? I'll give him 3 sermons. But he's willing to help out as much as possible. A minister is going to sit there thinking, I'd like to give another sermon. It's in the blood, you know, there's a time to retire, but he's going to sit there and listen to his roommate from 1962. We were roommates together in college. He will want to. It's like, Sergeant, I need to fill in on that. By the way, Mr. Neff, Larry Neff, and I were roommates, as I mentioned, and he had this habit of saying, Sarge, and he would stick out that knuckle, and he'd poke me with it. And I'd always, you know, kind of stay away from him because he was this kid, you know, that kind of was in the church for about 12 years by that time. He pretty much grew up in the church, Mr. Leroy Neff was his father, and he started out in Oregon and then came down back in the 50s and was at Imperial School. He was always taking and hitting me. And I still remember one time just getting really upset, and he hit me, and I came back and I slugged him as hard as I could in the shoulder, and he laughed. And then the knuckle was worse. You know, I hit him in the shoulder, you know, in the soft part. But I remind him of that. I did that in high school one time in choir, where this kid was going in choir, you know, singing away, and he was going like this, poking me. And I remember as soon as the professor looked away, I turned and I hit him as hard as I could, and I almost put a knuckle out. I caught him right in the bone, you know, and that stopped me from ever hitting. No, it didn't. I hit Mr. Neff, so I guess it didn't stop me. This angry, I didn't hit Mr. Froge too much. I really didn't. It was just very little. He will want to help out, definitely. So he was, and my point in all of this was, his goal was the same thing, to teach so that the body could be formed in the image of Christ. We have a big brother, the captain of our salvation, and we're supposed to be like him. And this is every day when we wake up, this is the goal that we have. So Mr. Foster is going to be coming in, and that's going to be his goal. And by the way, he's going to always be available. If you're sick, you know, in the hospital, he will visit you. He will be glad to take a phone call and talk to you if you call. He has been serving for years and years and years, and you feel like him. It's terrible, isn't it? No, you like him. You'll like him. He's just a really, really nice guy. He's fun-loving, and if you've known him at all, I know the Freemans are really close because Bob Freeman's been over there in the hospital, and he's been there, you know, helping out and serving. All I have to do is I called and I say, you know, we have a member from this area over in St. Louis in the hospital, and he's there, and he's going to be the same. If you have a dire affliction, he'll be there to help you out. Mr. Froge is going to be missed here. He's going to have the same goal that every minister has. He is going to try his best, and he'll do a good job at it, as you well know. And I know that you have bonded with him very much so and accepted him for the last 2 years and maybe before that when he may have come over once in a while. With Mr. and Mrs. Froge, you know them well, and I know that you were praying since you knew them that if I ever left the area that he would be here. And he knows that. And it's kind of a letdown, not that you don't like Mr. Foster coming in, but it's a letdown when you're hoping someone come in. I might mention that over the years I've had 15 individuals that I've trained who've been an assistant or associate pastor, and I put the Froges right at the top. They're so easy to work with. He paid me to say this. No, they're so easy to work with, and they're just, you can never be angry at Mr. Froge or Mrs. Froge. You just can't. Or any of their kids. They have sweet kids who will never make a mistake again. Stephen and Philip and Jonathan. And they're a lovely family, but when you have such a perfect family, it's really hard. And I have thought, well, I need to get angry at the Froges with something, you know, just to let them know they're not perfect, but I've never found anything. So he gave me $20 to say that. No. But in reality, that's just the way it's been. We're going to miss the Froges too, because we're going to be gone. But I had no problems at all when Mr. Horchak said, well, what about this option? What about that option? And he mentioned one of the options being them staying in Kansas City, close to their parents and their cousins, the kids' cousins, and taking Wichita. And of course, Columbia didn't come up right away. Then I found out, well, Columbia is going to go the other direction just because of the manpower. But I never had any problem at all even thinking about them taking the Kansas City area. Mr. Froge is 10 years older than when Jesus Christ first began his ministry. And I know some might think, well, you know, he's a young guy. Well, he's 40. That's not young anymore. His kids think he's old. And his wife just, you know, the other day had another year where she's trying to catch up to him. She's not there yet. She's behind him. But he's 40 years old. And when people say, oh, you know, Froges, yeah, they're a young couple. And it's like, man, when we were young, at 40, even though we looked young to a certain extent, I still remember going to San Antonio in 1980, and I was 36. And the lady said, Mr. Sargent, you're so young. That's young in Spanish, Mexican. And so, but he's 40. I was pastoring a church of 900 people at the age of 36. Mr. Froge would have no problem pastoring a congregation of 900 people. It would not be, well, he's very gifted in administration. He's very gifted with organization. He's right on top of things. In fact, it really makes me sick how on top of things he is. He makes me look so bad. Because if I ask him to do something, he's got it done within 5 minutes. It's just horrible. How would you like to have someone get a job done so quickly who works for you? He's just really, really good. And then he's got a wife who backs him up tremendously. It's a tremendous counselor to him. And right there with him in every way, totally dedicated to his ministry and the kids. And what more can you ask for? So I just wanted to make those comments that Mr. Froge is going to be missed. He's tender, he's caring, he's a listener, he's a quick learner, he's quick to respond. And it's been a blessing for us to have the Froges for 2 years. 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. Here I want to read where there are differences. And with another pastor coming in, I think it's important always to read 1 Corinthians 12 because Mr. Foster, in fact, Mr. Froge too, I almost was upset with him because he is using an Excel file to do something and not Word. When I saw that, I thought, you're using Excel? Well, I use Word. Why are you doing that? Well, it really wasn't that bad. So, differences of administration. He's using a different template than I am. He and that's something very small, of course. But you'll find every minister has their differences. They do. Some ministers are quick to respond when you ask them a question. Other ministers will... let me think about that. Let me get back to you on that. Let me take a while. It's just there's the way we answer people, the way we answer the phone, our message. You might get a message from a minister, well, you know, the phone rings, and it's like, you know what to do. I get that from Brent Martin. I still remember, he doesn't do that anymore, but in college, it's like, you know the game or something. You know what was it? I forget what he said. You know what to do. And it's like, boing. And, you know, cut to the quick. And now he's very tender. He's very patient with his kids. And he doesn't answer the phone that way. I'm just saying there's a difference of doing everything. There's a difference of everything we do. And one minister is going to do it one way and another minister another way. One is given, verse 8, manifestations of the Spirit, verse 7, is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, healings, working of miracles, prophecy, interpretation of tongues. 1 Corinthians 12, notice then in verse 28, there are miracles, there's gifts of healings, there's helps, there's administrations, there's varieties of tongues. And so what Mr. Foster does is going to be different administratively than what I do, and none of it's wrong. What Mr. Froge does is going to be different, and we try not to make major changes, but organization of the Passover, organization of the church, organization of you name it could be different. So I hope all of us understand that, and I think you do. I think you've had enough ministers here over the years. Probably somebody's counted them. Maybe, what, have you had 15, 20 ministers? I know Mr. Rand stayed quite a long time. And I ruined the count because I've been here so long, so you could have been ahead of everybody by this time if I didn't stay so long. But there are a lot of different ministers, and you know that. And some you get along with right away. Let me tell you a story. When I went to New Jersey, I had two men come up to me, and the first guy said, Mr. Sargent, I don't like you. Good start. How to win ministers and influence, friendship. I said, well, I'm sorry, why don't you like me? Well, you look like my dad. And I didn't like my dad. I said, oh, well, I'm very sorry, and I don't like you. New Jersey, they spit it out, you know. Different areas bring out different ways. When we went to Cleveland, Ohio, I walked in and I asked the guy, does this machine make good copies? This is Cleveland, first week that we were there. If you don't like it, you can go somewhere else. Well, that's very inviting too, very loving. Is this the way Cleveland is all the time? And I walked out and the sun was not shining. And the next day the sun wasn't shining. And 2 weeks later the sun wasn't shining. And a month later the sun wasn't shining. And I realized why people were kind of, you know, that wasn't a church member, by the way. The church members were very nice. But I'm just saying different cultures, different backgrounds, different ideas on the best way to help people overcome. So we have those different administrations, and we all have to get used to it. And I'm spending time on that on purpose. Just because it's important when we have a new pastor come in. But again, this church has been so kind to everyone that's come that I don't think there's going to be a problem. So keep up the good work. And I might mention, too, with the ministry, remember that there's a gift that is given to the ministry, young or old, no matter when we were ordained. Paul talked about Timothy when he wrote him, and he said to use that gift that you received with the laying on of hands. So when a minister receives has hands laid on him, then there's an actual gift that comes with it. And it's a particular gift. It's a unique gift that each one has. And we want to learn as much from every minister that comes in as possible. Gain what they have. Recognize their strengths and concentrate on their strengths. And of course, you know there's all types of speakers. You can take 10 speakers and every single one of them is different. And you're going to have a favorite. You will. There will be some who can get through to you in a way that others cannot. That is just the way it is. I don't even know if I'm my wife's favorite speaker. I know that I've never asked her, and I'm not going to. She has to listen to 3 sermons that I give, you know, any time. No, Marion's always right with me. But again, it's I have favorite speakers, and my favorite speakers, I know another minister might be saying, oh, that that minister really gets through to me. I can really, you know, and I'm thinking, well, I like the person, but I'm not affected in exactly the same way that they're affected. So God gives us what we need, and we just want to pull the strengths of every single one, because every single one of us has different strengths. All of us have the same goal, though. Romans 8:28. And by the way, I gave a sermon in Wichita that is not the same as this one, because Wichita is Wichita. And I gave a sermon this morning in Kansas City, and I didn't give this sermon because Kansas City is not Columbia. And when I go to Kansas City next week, there's such a horrible crowd. Oh, I'm sorry, the Scarboroughs are here. I forgot. Sorry about that. No, they're a different church. So it'll be a little bit different for each one, because I'm trying to think how to help each church as much as possible. Of course, the Bible, every verse applies to all of us, for sure. But we have in Romans 8:28, and I did use this verse this morning, Romans 8:28. And here it says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. So that is a key. We must love God if all things are going to work together. To those who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. What's his purpose? His purpose, of course, is that we'll be in the kingdom of God. His purpose is so that we'll be immortal beings. But his purpose is that we will be conformed to the image of his Son so that we can be in the kingdom of God. The promise of salvation only goes to one seed, just one seed, and that is to Christ. And so if we are conformed to the image of Christ, then we become like Christ and we get the promise. So we all have to remember that. But again, you find that statement throughout the Bible, that we want to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. So I won't go into other scriptures, but there is a law of the Spirit of life in Christ that helps us fulfill the requirements. And we can ask ourselves, well, how do I know if I conform to the image of Christ? How do I know that I conform to the image of Jesus Christ? Well, all of us came out of that baptismal pool like Jessica here just a week and a half ago, and she had hands laid on her, Jessalyn. There we go. And we know that she received that Spirit that comes from the Father, and it is the Spirit of Christ, so that she can, like all the rest of us, conform to the image of Christ. And the Galatians 5 would be a good place to go to if you want to know, how close am I to being in the image of Christ? How close? And you go there, and it says that the fruit of the Spirit is, it's by fruits, by their fruits you will know them. So how does God know us? How does he know if we conform to the image? And the scripture is there. By our fruits, he knows us. And so if I have love, and then, of course, as in 1 Corinthians 13, you have a definition of love. And then it goes on to say joy, joy. So you think, if I want to know if I'm in the image of Christ, if I am following what the minister is teaching, if I'm following what the Bible says, am I joyful? And you know, sometimes I'm not. Mr. Kylo gave a in a court this past week, which many of you have heard. He was talking about a lady who came. He was over the laundry at the feast that year, where they would take the laundry and then turn it in and then get it back in a day or two. This was during the feast down in Big Sandy, Texas. And this lady came in, and her laundry was lost. First day, they couldn't find it. And then the second day, they couldn't find it. The third day, they couldn't find it. And it was a lot. I think she had 3-4 kids, I believe. And it's all the laundry for the kids. And she expected it back in a day. It's not that she lost every piece. But, you know, they never found the laundry. But she came in and she said, she was joyful. I'll be okay. Second day, well, that's okay. And third day, it was lost, it's lost, you know. And the fourth day she came in and they said, you know, Matt, we just can't find your laundry. And she was joyful. She said, you know, people have helped us out. I have more clothes now than I came with when I came to the feast. So that happened. I remember when the Capels were in Branson, and one of the kids unlocked the car. That's not how it happened, was it? We can't blame the kids. It wasn't Braylon, it wasn't Carissa, it wasn't Jesselyn. It was somebody else. It was one of the parents, and it wasn't a female parent. I just want to give you a hint on that. From what I understand. But you know, when they left the feast, they were so blessed, even though virtually, I think, all their clothes had been stolen. But they were so blessed by other people. And this was toward the end of the feast. There was only a day or two left. Maybe the last day. I think it was, because you're packing up to leave. And so it's that joy that this woman had that really struck him, he said. So we look at that, and you know, when he was giving this last night, my wife can tell you, I was not in a joyful mood. I wasn't. And I was listening to this and it was convicting me. It's like, oh, man, I am not being joyful right now. I lost 50,000 bucks in the market. No, I didn't. I don't have any money in the market to lose. So how could I lose any? It was over something. And it's like, you know, joy. So love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, long-suffering, self-control. You know, look at these fruits of the Spirit. And this is the image of Christ. This is the image of Christ. Hebrews 13 says, I have to give an account for all of you in Columbia. So what am I going to do? Did you know that? The Bible says, Hebrews 13:7, I am going to give an account for all of you. And so what am I going to say of the Columbia Church? Well, Mr. Willis here, you know, I counseled him when there were 2 feet of snow on the ground. There was a snowstorm, and I came over, and he said, what are you coming over here for? And I said, I'm from Montana. I said, this is not a snowstorm. That was foolish. I could have died that night. It was a snow, but there weren't any cars, traffic on the on the road. But Mr. Willis, he joined a good group. Not that it was a bad group in Kansas City, but he came and he has that same spirit that the rest of you do. It's family. This church is family. Secondly, it's a church that likes to serve. All of you serve as much as you can. You just see that as just the way it is. You almost don't need an organization list. I gave one to Mr. Foster, and I just put down the responsibilities with a name behind it. But, you know, on some of those, it's like, well, who is doing this? Because it's like you all just kind of chip in whenever you can to help out. And it's just that way. It's going to get done. If, you know, chairs need putting away, if tables need putting up, it's just, phew, you got people. And you're just all doing it. You all, if you can, if you're able to, you just do. And that's what's so nice about this church. You're teachable. You don't fall asleep in my sermons, is what I'm saying. you're friendly. It's a loving church. Hospitable. When you come to church, people, new people, now I'm not saying that there aren't people who are shy, but overall, this is just the church. Encouraging. I've never had anybody discourage me and come up, you know, and be discouraging to me. Not, we all can have different types of problems. I'm not saying that we are a church that have not had some problems. That would be deceiving. That'd be deception. We do. We all do. But I see people working on problems. People change. And as I told Mr. Froge, and he knew it, I didn't even have to tell him this, you know, you give people time and God will make them stand. That was just something that we always see when God's Spirit is working with people. It's an enduring church, what we've endured throughout 25 years. You've endured with me. And it's a very kind, enduring church. If you're having a hard time with me, I really don't know it, because you're good at deception in a good way. But, and you're Missouri bred. I had to put that in there. You're Show Me State. And you know what? I really like people to have that attitude of show me. I really do. I think it's a good trait. I don't know when it started, maybe with President Truman, maybe, or far back before then, probably. I should know. I've read the reports. But you want to prove things. Always you want to prove things, and it's good. And even if you don't understand something right away, and I've always said, if I don't understand it, either I don't have enough knowledge or it's wrong, one of the two. But I commend you in wanting to prove things. You just don't want to say, well, the minister said it, so that's the way it is. We should never, ever be that way. Always prove all things and then hold fast to what is good. So I commend you with that, and that's what I would tell God. And if he said, well, what about so-and-so? And if I'm talking to him in heaven before, you know, Christ comes, and so you can get the idea here that that is not going to happen. But if it were such that I went to heaven right now and had a conversation and he said, give an account to Columbia Church for all those alive, I would say, they're growing. They're growing. And give them time. And as we heard, they have a really good parakletos in Jesus Christ, a real good mediator who goes to bat for all of us. We will miss you, and I'm not going to cry until we actually leave, because I'm here, and you're here, and it just still is not real to me that we're not going to be here as your pastor. And probably, I don't know, if we're pretty old, so I don't know if we'll even have the time to come and visit you. We will if we can. We hope to see you at feasts. But again, we don't know that we will see you until the kingdom, maybe the kingdom. And then we can sit down and have a glass of wine, you know, with Jesus Christ and all of us there at the wedding supper. And that will be a tremendous, joyful blessing. So thank you for being such a wonderful group of members, having God's Spirit, and striving to always do what is right, and being so loving and kind to us. Thank you.